WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Happy Sunday, y'all. You are listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and Nika on 90.7 The Capstone. And hello, my friend. How are you?
Hello. How are you doing?
You know, I'm good. I know right before we started recording, we were kind of lamenting just about the Monday struggles. For those of you who are listening for the first time, we've not made it a secret that we're not necessarily recording this live. So it tends to be about a week before you're actually listening to this. So while we're recording, it's a Monday. We've had a case of the Mondays.
You know, it's raining. I slammed my finger in the door within the first 10 seconds of waking up this morning because I wasn't completely awake. And so I've just been struggling with that all day.
You know, I totally understand. And I think I did warn you that as we were hitting the record button that I was potentially going to talk about Usher during the Super Bowl. It's been a week now. So I don't know. Did you enjoy it? What were your thoughts? Especially since we talked a little bit about that last week with some of our like favorite performances, memorable things. So where do you feel like Usher falls into the
mix? I think he did a great job. Mm-hmm. I think he had some great special guests. Yeah, yes. Really brought us back to, you know, our early, early 20s, right?
Yes.
The one thing that I did have a complaint about was the camera work at the beginning. I felt like the cameraman was kind of confused, mm-hmm. and we missed a lot of like really cool things.
Yes. Yes.
But other than that, I thought it was great.
Yes.
What about you?
I think so. I do remember that he's had a lot of slow ballads. I guess I just forgot how many there were until that performance.
A lot of slow songs.
You know, so I did enjoy more of like the upbeat stuff towards the end. And then whoever chose to get that man on roller skates, I don't know if he's been roller skating since he came out of the womb, but from a safety and just Murphy's Law perspective, I don't know if I would have, I don't know if I would have chanced that.
I mean, those knees could skate like an 8-year-old, you know? Like, I was impressed. I really was.
I was too. Yeah.
No. My knees said, no, ma'am, when I was watching it. So, all props to Usher.
Yes. I just always get fascinated by it. And then, of course, you know, there were all of the different commercials, but we won't go into all of that because honestly, now with mom brain, I can't remember all of them.
The commercials were really good. I mean, it's been a week, so we're seeing some of them in rotation on TV, but I thought they were more lighthearted and funny this year, which I really enjoyed.
Yes.
I enjoyed I liked the one where you said mom brain, the one about Uber Eats with Jennifer Aniston, where everybody was forgetting everything.
Yes.
Like Posh Spice forgot that she was a Spice Girl, and, you know, Jennifer Aniston forgot that she worked with David Schwimmer. And I thought that was really good.
Yeah, some of those, they were just good throwbacks. And I really like a lot of that Super Bowl commercial humor that we kind of all look forward to.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
It is a bright spot in our day.
Yes, absolutely. But, you know, I think that it's just so crazy to think about the fact that we are in February. We're getting closer to spring break. That really blows my mind for sure. One thing that I will do is I will give a shameless plug for the fact that during the month of March, we will be having a Safe Spring Break Health Fair. Students and community members can come. It's going to be in the Student Center Plaza, and it's similar to our Fall Health Fair. I thought it'd be a nice time to plug that in briefly, but I know that today we will be having some students on our show. We always like to have students.
Yes, I'm so excited.
They bring the energy, not to put pressure on our guests, but they're always so fun. And I know that we'll be getting to that in just a minute, but we'll go ahead and take a quick break. You are listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and Nika on 90.7 The Capstone.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Welcome back. You are listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and Nika on 90.7 The Capstone.
Yes, you are. And before the break, we were mentioning the fact that we will be having some students on today, and we're going to be talking about college health and wellness, student health and wellness. And so, you know, Nika, I know that you are an alum of the Capstone, a two-time alum, uh-huh. as well as myself. Have you always been a healthy person? I'm just curious.
I have. It's kind of my niche. It's what I love. Mm-hmm. You know, it's been, it was a hobby.
Yeah.
And then it is a career. So I have, I mean, I'm not perfect, you know, none of us are, but I do really like preventive health. I like holistic health. I like, you know, my minor was nutrition. Mm-hmm. I was a personal trainer and I'm a health education specialist. And so I like being healthy and I like the benefits that we reap from having a good quality of life.
I agree. And I think it's such a pivotal time too, but I feel like the influences now are obviously so different from when we were in undergrad. So right. I feel like things like social media has been, that's been a game changer. There's just so many things that are different. It's almost not fair for me to really compare our experiences with the students that we're with now. And then you have this really unique vantage point as a faculty member and as an advisor where you do get to have those intimate conversations with students where they're able to kind of tell you a little bit about their quality of life and what's going on kind of circling around academics, you know?
Yes. And I will tell you, I tell my students all the time that I have this, my heart breaks for them. And then also I have this great admiration for them for how they manage life with social media, because we did not have that. We did not have that kind of hanging over us. Mm-hmm. Our mistakes were not always recorded. We were allowed to have mistakes and nobody saw them.
Yes.
But then also on the flip side, they do have a wealth of knowledge at their fingertips. Mm-hmm. But then let's go back to the other side. Is that knowledge always correct? You know, right. We talk a lot about that in class. Is the social media influencers telling you the correct things, mm-hmm. and having to weed out the good from the bad?
Yes.
So there's pros and cons, but I really think there's a level of stress on our students today that we just didn't have.
Absolutely. And I know for you and I both as health professionals, we like the terminology evidence-based.
Yes.
And so when we think about the different organizations that are out there and also just opportunities in general for students to be true advocates for wellness and also to be able to educate their peers, we want to highlight one of those opportunities today, which is actually our Advisory Council on Wellness. So we have the pleasure of having two members of the council today, Ms. Cameron Class, as well as Mr. Weston Poth. So thank you both for joining us today.
Welcome.
Thank you for having us.
Absolutely. So we'll make sure that we get y'all taking turns with answering these questions, but we kind of just want to hear a little bit from y'all just as far as hometown, major, you know, what brought you to the capstone. And Cameron, we'll say ladies first, and we'll have you get us started.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Happy to be here. My name is Cameron Class. I am a senior public health major on the pre-PA track, originally from Buffalo, New York, but my parents live in Mesa, Arizona now, so that's what I call home. I actually did not want to come UA at first.
Really?
I have a sister. She's 2 years older than I am. We moved around a lot as kids, and we had never lived in the South. So we were both looking at SEC schools to come mm-hmm. to originally. She chose Alabama, and me being the younger sibling, I did not want to go where my sister was. ended up getting an amazing scholarship, and here I am, and I am so grateful to be here.
That's amazing.
And Cameron is one of our excellent students and one of my FISEs. So I have
I was hoping, like, y'all were giving each other eyes. I was like, you know, I would hope that y'all know each other.
Yes, but she is at the end of her journey. Absolutely. So she's put in all the work and she's about to take flight and be the next generation to change the world.
Hey, well, we'll take it. And also props for scholarships, right? Because then that entices many of our students to come. So I love that we have that. And Weston, tell us your story.
Yes. Well, mine's a little bit opposite of Cameron. I'm from the South, been in the South my whole life. I'm from Franklin, Tennessee. Majoring in civil engineering, and I'm a sophomore, so I'm really just still getting started on my journey through it. Speaking of scholarships, really the reason I chose UA was, again, the scholarships. Mm-hmm. I have the honor of being a National Merit Scholar.
Very cool.
Which I'm kind of the same. I did not want to come to UA at first. I had some biases against it that I should not have, and then I came and toured, and against the, you know, UT fans in my family, this was the place for me, and so here I am.
And it's been great. We're glad you're here.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Yes. And so, you know, you're both here as members of the council. I'd love to hear, I guess, what piqued y'all's interest in the council. And then Cameron, too, I'll also get you to kind of share what the mission and goal is of the Advisory Council on Wellness.
Absolutely. So I kind of had a unique experience learning about Advisory Council. My freshman year, actually, I was asked to be in one of our student focus groups talking about mental health on campus as it relates to COVID. And after participating in that group, further hearing about the mission of the council and what we're doing on campus, my interest was immediately piqued. I actually applied my freshman year. I did not get in, but I was so interested in the council and what we were doing that I reapplied my sophomore year. And then my junior and senior year, I have been on the advisory council. So it's a kind of cool full circle moment for me. But essentially what we do for advisory council, it is a research opportunity for students by students. And what I mean by that is we are listening to our peers. We're listening to faculty groups, student groups to find out salient issues on campus and how we as students can kind of alleviate those issues and increase overall well-being and wellness on campus. So it has been such a cool opportunity. This year, we are currently working on financial insecurity on campus. Last year, we delved into addiction and addiction recovery on campus. So it's been really interesting to see how there are so many issues on the forefront of our students' minds and how we ourselves can kind of help those issues and increase well-being that way.
Love it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and I'll jump in there too. I think one of the biggest parts of the ACW as well is getting to work with Dr. Roberto Perez, getting to work with him and kind of see his input on things with that. I actually heard about the council from one of our current members. She's a friend of mine, and she just mentioned that she had a meeting for that one night, and I started looking into it. And I think having kind of a unique perspective of being a non-health major really made me interested in applying for it and being engaged with it, just because I think that's still really important. And part of what I want to do with my career is focus on healthy environments and healthy areas that we live in. And so to be able to come into this council and start working with them and just get to hear all these unique perspectives of different students around campus and how the campus life itself really impacts how we live and how healthy we are.
Exactly.
Yeah, I feel like the health professional in me is thinking socioecological model, like all of the different things.
Social determinants of health.
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, I love it. So I love how you mentioned that you take a different topic every year. And right now it's like the financial, like, insecurity. So I think what a lot of our listeners may not understand is that people tend to think that if you come to the university, you've got a lot of money. And that's not always the case. Would you like to expand on some of the things that you've heard about in this area, some of the things that our students are struggling with?
Absolutely. So this year, the focus on our paper specifically is on financial insecurity as it relates to food and housing on campus.
Yes.
Like Weston and I both mentioned, we're scholarship students, and that applies to a lot of students. The university offers some amazing academic-based scholarships, but looking outside of the cost of education, your food, your housing, all of your extra expenses, how does that factor into our students' lives, and what are they doing to kind of alleviate
the cost? So it's like you can get here and get your tuition and your housing, maybe your dorm and your books paid for, but that's not the only things that go along with life.
Exactly right.
Yeah, no, and I think, for one, I just want to say thank you both for sharing your story so far and giving us a teaser for what the council is currently working on, because we do need to take a break, but I think it gets our listeners enticed for the fact that we've got to stay in for this next segment. So y'all are listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and Mika on 90.7 The Capstone.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Welcome back. to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and Nika on 90.7 The Capstone. We are talking with our guests, Cameron and Weston of the Advisory Council on Wellness at the University of Alabama.
That's right. And they just mentioned before the break that their focus area this year is financial insecurity. And so I'm actually curious, you know, as the council kind of focuses on different topics each year, how do y'all as a group land on those specific topics? Is it through the focus groups, or is it through other areas, or just through group discussion?
It's a lot of conversation, a lot of group discussion. It can get heated at times, but it's always respectful. We have a lot of students in the advisory council, and we're all very passionate about different aspects of what we see on campus. So this year, I think it took us even longer than usual, from what I've heard, is that we had probably 3 or 4 meetings where we sat and just started discussing topics. We looked at the Alabama model, which we follow, and all these different aspects of health, and trying to pick out, you know, which one on campus we really want to focus on for this year.
Mm-hmm. And Weston brought up an amazing point, which is the Alabama model. That is kind of our reference point for where we take the direction of our white paper in every single year. The Alabama model is a 7-point model on different areas of wellness. I'm going to jog my memory really fast. So there is financial, career, academic, psychological, physical,
emotional.
There's social and spiritual.
And spiritual. Yes. Thank you. And looking at those 7 categories, we then pull the data that student health and well-being collects throughout the year. Mm-hmm. I know some students are aware that they get those little surveys asking to do a well-being check-in. And we use that data to kind of influence the direction that we're going in with our paper. So we can see what areas are progressing throughout the years, what areas are lacking throughout the years, what our focus needs to be centered on. So we use that as well as our meetings with on-campus representatives. And that could also come from faculty as well as students. We just want to get a very well-rounded view as what people are seeing on campus, what needs to be addressed. And we value the opinion of our students and faculty in an equally high regard, just because we're seeing, they might be seeing things that we're not used to seeing on campus as students, or just in the different pockets of campus that we're in as well.
Yes, absolutely. And I've come to one of your meetings before, just as some of us from the Division of Student Life have introduced ourselves. But I'm curious, with the weekly meetings that y'all have, is that where a majority of your work takes place? Or do you feel like that's where some conversations take place? And then there's some delegated things that happen in subgroups throughout the week, or some delegated tasks to talk to some different student orgs or sectors of faculty members?
Yes, absolutely. I think the entire hour that we are in that room on Tuesday nights is spent full of chatter. We are a very talkative bunch, but the way that we kind of split up our work on the white paper is we have 3 separate groups. We have our focus group team that does student interviews. We have our research team that pulls publications and research for our white paper, and then our writing team who kind of culminates all of this work into our final draft that gets sent to administration for a proposal. So we kind of timeline our progression on the white paper. Typically the fall is when our focus groups and our research teams get together and work on their stuff. And then the writing team, as well as everyone else on the council, contributes to editing and writing the white paper during the spring semester. So it is a very progressive, fast-paced timeline for us to get everything together. But we work on different areas throughout the year.
And I think we have a system now where it's pretty easy to follow this three group, you know, timeline, and it makes it manageable. And we've got a wonderful chair and co-chair who kind of lead our discussion and keep us on task and on track. Because like Cameron said, we can be pretty chatty and we have a lot of fun sometimes.
I'm curious, what has been your biggest takeaway or memory so far from being on the council?
Well, I guess I'll start off just from my first year being here. It has been a lot of people who care about a lot of people, which I think is one of the greatest things to see from the focus groups that come in. These are students taking time out of their day because they think it's important to come share about aspects of health that they see their friends struggling or succeeding with. And then beyond that, we've met so much of the faculty and staff at the University of Alabama who come in and share what they're seeing from students every single day. And that's just been really amazing and really uplifting to just see the community that this university has, and really that we get to kind of take all of what we're hearing and be able to put it out and say, here's everything that we know about our university, and here's the shortcomings and the successes that we have. And I just think that's great. It's been awesome to see.
It is really, really hard to pick just one memory. Advisory Council is consistently some of my favorite times and memories from my time on campus. But I will say, last year I had the wonderful opportunity to present at IRGA our findings and research from the council on last year's white paper topic. And the team that I work with, we submitted our findings and our research to the American Public Health Association, and we were approved to present at the APHA conference in November.
Seeing your face is just this proud faculty.
Just so proud.
Member.
I'm just so proud.
I've just been loving it. Sometimes I wish we had a camera on our recordings because just our facial expressions, we just get so happy and excited, and we geek out about health. I think y'all are fellow health geekers as well. So
I love it. So I did wanted to ask, I know you said that this year it was the financial and last year it was addiction. What are some of the other the big health topics that you see and you talk and you debate about before you land on one?
Absolutely. So a lot of that is pulled from the data from the Alabama model. This year, we did see a lot of physical well-being. That was a really big topic. That was something that we were debating on as well. Just overall nutritional needs on campus and nutritional health. Mental health is always a big discussion.
Yes, always.
I think just our age and what we're going through, like you mentioned, with social media, especially in a college setting, it is really difficult. But there are different themes that we see every year. There's always something new that's happening on campus that might drive different areas of health in different directions.
What's been the most surprising?
Goodness.
I don't know.
Has there been anything that you were surprised to see that our student population was struggling with, or is it pretty much what is the norm for college students?
Honestly, the thing that I thought was the most surprising was a decrease in physical well-being. I thought getting out of the COVID age, and especially with the climate that we're dealing with at UA, mm-hmm. I figured, you know, I see people on the quad all the time playing volleyball, throwing footballs, that sort of thing. And I'm coming from Buffalo, New York, which is pretty much the land of snow. And people have struggles getting to class sometimes. So I was really interested to see that physical well-being is a little bit lower than it has been in years past. Is with all those things
in
mind.
That is interesting.
That is, I was going to say the exact same thing, because when we were looking at the research from this year, there'd been a drop in physical health. And I even thought back to, you know, all the pickleball courts that we see popping up. It just seems there's more and more reason to
I think that's interesting because we have excellent facilities. Mm-hmm. You know, the WIT Center, the Student Recreation Center, we have beautiful outdoor landscapes. We have the Manderson Walk. We have so many opportunities. So that's not holding. That's not something that's holding us back. There's not a barrier to access. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting to see what is causing that, you know. Mm-hmm.
I agree. You know, and it's tough because when we do have such a vast student population, you know, we kind of base some things on what we are able to see, and then we don't always know what's happening behind closed doors as student mental health issues. And I think that y'all come from a very unique and just neat perspective of the fact that you are part of the target population that you're studying. Have you kind of even had those aha moments yourself where you're like, actually, yes, I would agree that this is an appropriate topic area because this is very valid for me in particular.
Absolutely. I think seeing some of the focus group responses from this year, especially, there's been a lot of feeling seen and feeling visible mm-hmm. by quite a few members of the council of, okay, this is what I'm dealing with as well. It's so great to see that this
so
is
important.
A common response, you know, and so that it's right for us to be talking about this and to make it known. Absolutely.
Yes. I love that so much because I think sometimes for someone who is an epidemiologist or anything else, a lot of times when they're studying different target populations, they're not necessarily part of that.
Right.
And so you've got this neat experience and tying in the research, and I could go on and on, but we've got to take a break. So I'm going to stop myself right now. We will have Cameron and Weston back after the break. You are listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and Nika on 90.7 The Capstone.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Welcome back. You are listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and Nika on 90.7 The Capstone. We are back with our guest, Cameron and Weston from the ACW.
That's right. I know. I feel like anytime an organization goes by its acronyms, it just has puts like an official spin on things.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, that group is there. So if you don't know what the ACW is and you are just now joining us, it is the Advisory Council on Wellness. And so both Cameron and Weston are members of the council. And so we'd love to kind of shift directions now as applications open for the council and tell us a little bit about how do students get involved? What does that look like? And then even too, if you want to talk about how students can get involved with being part of the focus groups, I think that's one thing I thought about in our other segments was how do students get chosen to be part of the focus groups for the research that y'all do?
Sure, absolutely. So it was pretty exciting. We had a meet and greet with some potential members just this last week, and we were able to kind of allow people the opportunity to get to know what the council does.
Mm-hmm.
I think sometimes people see advisory council and they're not sure exactly what that means.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really fun to just kind of talk about our experiences, what we do, and get people excited about their own application process. For that pretty much looks like an online application. You're writing a couple short essay questions. I'm going to let Weston talk about that a little bit more coming fresh off the application process itself.
Right, absolutely. So it's an online application. It'll be posted on our website, I believe, and you can also go to the UA Student Wellbeing Instagram and it'll be on there. It's not a very complicated application process. There's a couple thought-provoking essay responses that you do, and those I know will be due February 25th. And following that, they will send you an email about a second round that comes after the first.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. When you were talking earlier in the show about your own experiences becoming part of the council, Cameron, I really appreciate your candor with mentioning the fact that the first time you applied, you didn't get in, but you were so passionate about what the council was doing that you applied and got in. And then also too, for you, Weston, not necessarily being a health major, because I think that that would probably be some of the things that students are thinking about as they're going through this application process where, okay, is it a requirement for me to be a health related to major? Is it actually a bonus that I'm not? Because I'm going to have this unique perspective. And then also, can I apply again if maybe it wasn't a successful application process for me in the past? So, yeah, I'm just saying I just appreciate that, honestly.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So for someone who is on the fence and thinking, do I not? What does the time commitment look like? What are some of the benefits? What are some of the things that they need to consider that they'll have to really kind of, the effort they'll have to put forward if they want to do this?
Absolutely. So our general requirement is an hour on Tuesday nights. That's our normal meeting time. We meet once a week, every week. And outside of that, it pretty much is dependent on whatever team that you're a part of is what your commitments are looking outside of the council. From my own personal experiences, it really isn't too much. I know we have some very busy students on our council right now, and everyone is able to kind of fit those extra extra little meetings and extra little assignments in their schedule. Our only real crunch time is getting the white paper together, but that is a group effort. Everything is done together with other people. No one is an island on the council, which I so appreciate. So it really isn't too much outside of our normal Tuesday night meetings. But personally, one of the benefits that I've gotten from being on the council myself is working very closely with individuals from varying perspectives and different groups than I would normally work with. We have two other public health students on the council, and outside of that, everyone else is involved in different majors and different colleges, which I have so appreciated.
That's amazing.
And working alongside Dr. Perez as well has been one of the highlights of my college career so far. He is so knowledgeable and so amazing to work with. And getting that really close experience with a administrator on campus and getting to ask him questions and pick his brain a little bit, that has been such a wonderful experience that I would encourage everyone to try and take, if not through advisory council, through some other avenue on campus, to kind of have that relationship with someone as knowledgeable as he is.
I love that. Weston, how about you? What's your take on everything?
I think, as Cameron said, the commitment, never too much. It's never felt like too much. And like she said, we're a team. Ultimately, so there's been a week that I couldn't maybe finish something I needed to get done and texted up my team members and asked if they could help me out with this. And it's just a great opportunity. Everybody wants to be there. If you're going to apply and be on it, you want to be there. Somebody wants to put in the work. I think one of the greatest benefits I've gotten from it is recognizing the way that health is in everything that we do. Yes. Just all aspects of it.
Hey! Oh. A non-public health major.
That's right. Everywhere.
Understand this.
Exactly. Well, it's just, it's important, I think, for us to see, because it's too easy to get caught up in the coursework that we're doing, especially if it's not something that's health related. We just get stuck on, I'm doing math all day. That's kind of most of what I'm into and what I'm doing all the time, but I need to stop and I have to eat still. Yeah. And I need to go work out, need to go outside, need to see my friends. And I think one of the benefits that I've seen from this council is just being a reminder for myself that I need to be healthy in all aspects of my life, and that I needed to help my friends make sure that they're healthy as well and see how they're doing and checking on people. And it's just been a great experience to see that, I think.
Love that.
Yeah, I'm just like all smiles.
I'm just so happy right
yes.
now.
Oh my gosh. Well, you know, I'm thinking about just the fact that you guys are both on the council, and you know, when we think about just your own health and well-being, kind of how do y'all approach self-care for yourselves, or just health and wellness for yourselves? What's kind of like the things that ground you in your own health and wellness? Because I feel like there's that quote, comparison is a thief of joy, and everybody's health journey is going to look different and unique, especially in this season of college. So kind of how do y'all approach health for yourselves right now? And Weston, we'll start first with you this time.
Absolutely. Well, I have a quote as well that one of my scoutmasters told me, and it was, don't sacrifice the good on the altar of the perfect. So college is hard a lot of times, and I approach it every day at a time. I'm very aware of needing physical activity, a healthy diet, and social interaction with people. And so I read this book last year called Atomic Habits, which is all about just building little by little every day. And that's how you make it stick. And so that's been my major push this year, and remaining healthy throughout all of it is giving myself grace and taking it a little at a time.
Love it. There's those baby steps.
I know,
love it.
Snaps. Yes. Cameron.
Absolutely. I think, like Weston said, building on those habits is an amazing way to start building yourself a healthy life. One of the things that I've been doing lately that I have been loving is gratitude journaling. I do that typically every night before I go to bed. I know a lot of people like doing it in the mornings, but I'm already running late to class as it is. So, but that has been such a great way to practice gratitude, enjoy my life. And another thing too that I have been doing since freshman year is really scheduling out my Google Calendar, especially when it comes to my free time. I just put everything in there so I know I have a block of time designated to me hanging out with my friends, or me studying, or me working out. And especially when I am doing things with other people or am doing something for myself, I usually put my phone in Do Not Disturb. That is just one way for me to focus on either myself or my friends and worry about something other than all the other things that I might have going on in the background and just focusing on being present.
Love this.
Yes, yes. I hope that all of our listeners are, you know, really taking to heart what Cameron and Weston have shared today, y'all. We've appreciated
having y'all on the show. I'm just happy, you know, just the old academic geek in me is just so happy right now. You know, I'm just like, they're getting it. They get it. You know, we teach, and we're like, you can regurgitate it on a test, but are you truly getting it? Is it sticking? And are you taking it to heart? And are you living it? And the fact that you're living it is just, I just can't ask for anything more.
Yeah, I agree. And on that high note, we are going to take a break, and then we'll have our closing. Cameron, Weston, I hope you'll join us for our last 5 minutes of the show. You are listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and Mika on 90.7 The Capstone.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Welcome back, listeners. You are listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and Mika on 90.7 The Capstone.
That's right. And if you are just now joining us, you're going to have to go back and listen to the show at some point in time, because we've had the best conversation with Cameron Class and Weston Paul, both students who are on the Advisory Council for Wellness. We talked a lot about student health and wellness, how to get involved on the council. And this is the point in the show for our listeners who have listened to us for so many years, where I tend to go rogue with asking our guests and even my lovely co-host a question. So my question for each of you, and Nika, I think I've actually asked you this before when you've been a guest on this show. What is your hype song? Like, what song gets you in the mood? Like, you can conquer the world. Like, it's just, or even just gets you in a happy mood. It doesn't necessarily have to be your I'm going to conquer the world song, but just what is a song that it just gives you the endorphins, you know?
Oh,
yeah.
That's a good one, because it changes.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it does change. Let me think of what's on my repeat list right now.
Oh.
Yeah.
What's yours? I will say, this is random, because I feel like I have several. My most recent one, and this is a throwback, so I don't know how many people will know this, but the lovely movie, Pretty Woman, with Richard Gere and Julia Roberts. So there's a song on there called King of Wishful Thinking.
Oh, yes.
Paul Rudd and Jimmy Fallon actually did a remake of that music video a while back. That just gets me happy. I don't know why. There's nothing empowering about the song. It's just one of those like happy winks when you hear a song that like you love that's like randomly on the radio versus you intentionally putting it on your playlist.
There's something different. It hits differently.
Yeah. It just gets me, it gets me kind of hype. I'm just like, I feel good now.
So I think one of my happy songs, my children love Pets too, the movie. And there's the cutest song at the end, and it's a remake. It's, you know, Bill Withers, It's Gonna Be a Lovely Day.
Oh yeah.
But it's a remake. And so it's Gonna Be a Lovely Day, but it's from the Pets 2 soundtrack. It is just a happy, fun song. And if I put it on in the morning on the way to school, we're all happy. We're all happy.
Yeah.
So I can't say that about everything.
Well, but. And I will say, and I'll be very honest to say, also on the way to school today, I did introduce my 5-year-old to My Prerogative by Bobby Brown. That's kind of
because
a hype song.
Your child needs to have a good quality musical education.
Oh, yeah.
And let's start with Bobby.
Yeah, we're going worship music and then Bobby Brown.
I love it.
Just, you know, very selective. But, okay. So, Cameron and Weston, what are your happy hype songs?
Okay. I can start off. Well, I've got two.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
I get into two very different mindsets, one for when I'm working out and one for when I'm just walking to class.
Okay.
When I'm working out, it's Sweatpants by Childish Gambino.
Okay.
Like, okay.
And honestly, just any rap song just gets me like upbeat and ready to work out. It's just great.
Yes.
And then when I'm walking to class and I'm feeling a little bit mellow, it's Sitting on the Dock at the Bay.
Okay. Is it Otis Wack Redding?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep. Otis Redding.
Okay.
Just, I'm in a really big soul kick right now.
Yeah.
That music just gets you feeling good.
It does.
I like the diversity in those selections. Thank you.
All right, Cameron.
I've been like scrolling through my own personal memory in my Spotify right now trying to think something. But I think one of my go-to happy songs is Everything by Michael Bublé. That is guaranteed to put me in a good mood. And I remember listening to that going to elementary school many years ago. But that was like one of the first songs that I had a real connection with listening to it in my mom's car. And I think just listening to it now can kind of re-spark that childish joy.
I love it. So see, Bobby is going to bring back some great memories for your children one day. And, you know.
Well, and there's some NSYNC and some, so hopefully there's some different remnants that my child will enjoy. Okay. Well, thank y'all for humoring us with my random question. But with that said, again, Cameron, Weston, thank you both for being on the show today.
Yes, thank you for having us.
Excellent guests.
And we will just catch y'all next week. Y'all have been listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and Nika on 90.7 The Capstone.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.